Good morning. Acts chapter 16 will be our text today. We're continuing our study of discipleship. Title of the message this morning is Finding Your Timothy. I love discipleship. I hope you enjoy it. We've been on it for about 6 weeks now. And we've got a few weeks to go. Acts chapter 16. First, I would like to stop. I see a lot of serious faces. Would you just smile for me and enjoy the blessings of God for a moment? Amen. I'm not saying be goofy, you know. I'm not trying to be. I'm just saying God's good. Let's reflect Him, okay? He's good to us. And this morning we're going to look at Finding Your Timothy, Acts chapter 16, verse 1, will you stand with me as we read from God's precious holy word? Speaking of Paul here, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which was determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. So glad to have my good friend Brother Gary Ward, his wife Carla, in services today. Brother Gary, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Finding Your Timothy, our study of discipleship. You know, discipleship, and I say this each week, and I'll probably continue to say this each week, just as a continual reminder to us all, discipleship is about walking with the Lord. It's about being a learner, a disciple, a personal disciple of Jesus Christ. And if your personal relationship with Christ is not right, you cannot disciple other people, okay? You cannot. So never lose sight of the fact that your personal relationship with Christ is paramount in your quest of discipleship. But the other side of discipleship is about our influencing the lives of another so that they follow Christ. And here's the question this morning. Who is following Christ because of you? Let that sink in just a moment. Who is following Christ because of the influence that you have on their life? We're at the point in this study where we're making disciples, and today we're going to start by getting a focus for making disciples. Because a lot of people, you know, we read the Great Commission. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that sounds good until we get outside and we forget it. Okay? So today we're going to begin a focus on making disciples. And that focus is going to start with our youth. The youth, young people of this church. And 3 points to the message. You like that 3-point message, right? Beats a 6-point message. Amen. There you go. That first point being in discipling our youth. See, that's what Timothy was. He was a young man roughly 19, 20 years old, right? And that's an estimate. But the first thing to do in discipling our youth is to perceive their potential. I want you to notice in the text, it said that Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold. I want you to think about that for just a moment. It didn't say he came to Lystra, and behold. He said he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold. You see, that word behold, we often just kind of pass it up as a nothing word, but it's not a nothing word. It is a word that gives emphasis and draws your attention. It's like you and I would say, hey, look. Look, see something extraordinary. Look, see something awesome. So it says, Paul and his party, they came to Lystra, and it says, and look, here's something awesome, something really cool that they saw. And that something really cool that they saw was a young man named Timothy. Timothy. A son of a Jewish woman believer. Grandson of a Jewish woman believer. His father was a Greek. He come from just a good upbringing. 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul, in writing to Timothy, he says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I'm persuaded is in you also. He was brought up right. He was brought up in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was genuine. He was sincere, without hypocrisy. And Paul saw it. That's why he's so excited here. That's why I use the word, look, behold. A young man of good reputation. Everybody in the community knew who Timothy was. Do you know that young man or that young lady that you just look at and say, now that's a good kid. That's a good kid right there. See, that's the way they saw young Timothy. But you know, it's not just about what a person is. It's about what a person can be. Okay? That's why I encourage you this morning to perceive the potential of the ones around you, most especially the young people, our youth of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. I challenge you this morning, behold, you're not beholding. Look around you. Look at these younger. And when I say kids, I don't mean to be disrespectful to you. I say that lovingly. The younger people of our congregation. Okay? Look around just a moment. Behold. Aren't they awesome? Amen. They are. It is so cool what God has placed at Victory Missionary Baptist Church. And today I want to challenge you to consider or perceive their potential. So much today we hear people, well, this younger generation just all out of control. Well, I want to tell you, you know, there may be some of them that are out of control, but there are some good kids in this church. Okay? God has blessed us with some great young people, and we must see their potential, and not just what they are right now, but what they can become. We must disciple them. Moms and dads, teachers, friends, grandparents, look at them and look at the potential. You never know. God might have a Billy Graham sitting in front of us. Some of these kids may be on evangelistic campaigns 20 years from now. And you know what we'll say? Yep, I taught that boy. He was in my Sunday school class. That's, and rightly so. But the point is, we've got to see that potential and be willing to invest in their lives. We must bring them to serving at an early age. This old idea where young people are supposed to be seen and not heard, that's for the birds. The old concept about sit down, shut up, and endure it till it's over, then you can go, that's for the birds. We want children, we want teenagers, we want college students and young people who are involved in the active working of this church. And it's our job to get them there. Y'all know we got a sound person that is, how old is he? 11. Woo, that's good. One of our sound people is 11 years old. That's awesome. Awesome. We need, and I'll tell you, it's a personal goal that we get them spread throughout the church on committees. Listen, I figure if I've got to sit through committee meetings, some teenagers should have to. Right? No, I'm kidding. Our committees are great. But you know, wouldn't it be great to have teens on the mission committee? Teens on the finance committee, so they find out, how does things work? You know? You see, I don't want them to grow up to the part that they're looking forward to leaving mom and dad and the church that they were made to come to for the last 10, 20 years, you know? I want them to grow up thinking, this is my church. This is where I serve the Lord. And this is where I want to serve the Lord. But you see, we must invest in them. We've got to see their potential. I tell you something that bothers me. Is how many of our kids are not in Sunday morning Bible group. Well, if I had a pen, I'd drop it right now. And I was thinking, Brother Michael and I were talking. I asked Brother Michael, why aren't they in Sunday morning Bible group? I don't call it Sunday school anymore because there's some negative connotation with that. So, you know, I personally call it Sunday morning Bible group. Where'd they go? Why aren't they in there? And you know what we've discovered? It's because mom and daddies aren't bringing them. Amen. And that really bothered me. Because see, when we don't have our children involved in the workings of the church, in the Bible studies of the church, they're going to grow up handicapped as children of God. They're going to grow up not knowing who Adam and Eve are. They're going to grow up not knowing who Moses and David and all the great men of the Old Testament are. They're going to grow up not knowing who the Apostle Paul was. The basic Bible doctrine, they're not going to have a clue. Moms and dads, listen to me. I plead with you. Get your kids in Bible group Sunday morning. Have them at church on Sunday night. Have them in Awana or teen ministry on Wednesday night. But have them here to gain all they can gain from the Bible teaching because they need it. Listen, we send them to school 7 hours a day in our public school. 7 hours a day in our public school. That's 140 hours per month. If they go to school 9 months, that's 1,260 hours a year. And the basic opportunity for their Bible education is found in about 4 hours a week, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. Listen, they need it because that 1,200 hours that they're spending at school, they're going to be taught sex education. They're going to be taught evolution. They're going to be exposed to drugs, to sexual promiscuity, to homosexuality. They're going to be around children whose mama and daddies don't care what their children are doing. And so those children are doing anything they're big enough to do. And they're trying to influence your kids. That's why what we're doing is so important. We've got to use every opportunity to educate our children in the Word of God that we possibly can. Oh, Brother Doug, you just don't understand. I have so much trouble getting them here on Sunday morning. Listen, you get them to school 5 days a week. School starts about 8 o'clock. Don't give me the baloney that you can't get them here at 9:30 on Sunday morning. And I say that with love. Listen, it's all a matter of what we consider important, okay? That's my plea. It's all a matter of what we consider important. Because I'll tell you, they're not going to grow up to be good kids by accident. They're going to grow up to be good kids because you saw their potential, took an interest in them, made sure they were in church, made sure they received a Bible education. That's what's going to cause them to grow up to be good kids. See the potential. I look around. I'm filled with joy looking at these kids. Let's make sure we do them right in the Lord. Perceive their potential. Then, second thing, making disciples of our youth. Somebody's got to learn to listen. If you'll notice, Paul says he took Timothy and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew his father was a Greek. What was the problem with Timothy? The problem was he wasn't circumcised. Did he have to be circumcised to be a Christian? No. Did he need to be circumcised to be a good Bible teacher? No. Well, why did he have to be circumcised? Because it would open the door of communication for Timothy to preach to the Jews. If the Jews knew that his father was a Greek, he wouldn't have been circumcised. They had to shut him out before he started. But see, Timothy had a choice to make. He could have looked at Paul and said, uh-uh. That don't mean nothing. Circumcision don't mean nothing. I'm not going to do that just because somebody expects me to do that. I'm not going to do that. But you know what? You don't see any record of that. You see a young Timothy submitting to the leadership and the wisdom of the Apostle Paul and getting that taken care of. Why? So he could be set in a spot to minister. He received Paul's instruction, knowing that it was good instruction. Okay, young people, I want to get in your grill just a minute. Okay? I want to talk to you about learning to listen. Every young person in this congregation looking and listening to Brother Doug. Mom and Dad are not ignorant. Okay? They are not stupid. The older group of this church are not out of touch. They're not out of the loop. They're not ignorant as you think they are. You see, there are things that they know that will help you if you're smart enough to listen. Okay? But you have to be smart enough to listen. I want to tell you something. We may not can program our own cell phone. That's what I do. When I get a new cell phone, I call a kid. But I want to tell you what we do know. We do know how to live. Why? Because we've been there and done that and got the t-shirt. We've been down the road. We know the dangers of immorality. Why? Because we've seen it. In our lifetime, we've seen the lives that it's destroyed. We know the consequences of bad choices. And we certainly know the value of a close walk with God. And you have... When you're 16 years old, I know you think you know it all, but listen, you do not. I don't know, it may be 13 now. It seems to be getting younger and younger. Listen to me, youth. When you see that older person in the church, don't just take time to consider he has gray hair for a reason. It's the years that he's been through. And gray hair is a sign of wisdom according to the Bible. Listen, young people, we have valuable experience in this church. In your mom and dad, you have valuable experience. Listen to them. Listen, if you're going to do surgery, if you're going to have surgery, okay, you want somebody that's good at it. Amen? I want the best, you know? And for you to make your own decisions and be hard-headed, and I'm not going to listen to mom and dad, and those old people don't understand what I'm going through, that's like calling somebody who has never been to medical school to do surgery on your life. What a dumb choice. Oh, don't do that. I mean, you're going to listen to somebody. You're going to listen to somebody. Why not listen to the folks that's been through it? Don't listen to your 16-year-old friends. I know the world thinks, you know, the other people in your grade think they are so cool by the things that they do and, you know, all this. But most of them are just stupid. And that's a strong word, but listen. Don't look to them for advice. They don't know. Look to someone who's been down the road a little while. Learn to listen to the people that know and care about you. If we're going to make disciples, we're going to have disciples who know how to listen. And we're going to have those people discipling who perceive the potential. And then finally, we're going to have people who care enough to coach. Verse 3 said, Paul wanted to have him go on with him. 19, 20-year-old kid, Paul says, I want you to come with me. Paul cared enough and was willing to take the time and give the effort to train this young man in the ministry. Timothy is going to become a great minister. Matter of fact, later he's going to be the church at Ephesus. I mean, good things are in store. But somebody had to say, come on, go with me. Put their arm around him. Teach him a little bit. Train him. You know what Paul was doing? Paul was training his replacement. I want you to think on that just a moment. Guess what? We're not going to be around forever. And I'm glad. I'm glad this world's not my home. But I have an eternal home prepared by the hands of God. And I do love this life, but I realize it's not going to last forever. One of these days, somebody else is going to have to step into this pulpit. Who's it going to be? It's going to be the young people that we're training and discipling today to take our place. I know. Training, well, let's just be honest. It's easier to do it yourself, isn't it? It's easier to do it yourself. And after all, we all know that nobody does it like you do. Right? But I want to offer you this. When you take the time, put your arm around somebody and say, come on, come go with me. And you start teaching that individual. It's not going to be long where they're going to pick up and they're going to be ready to serve. And then you know what you've done? You've doubled your ministry capability. Isn't that cool? Isn't it neat? We look here at the end of this verse, or the text, verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Why? Because it was working like it was supposed to. Do you realize a healthy organism reproduces? That's what I'm talking about in discipling people. I'm talking about caring enough to coach, to wrap your arms around a young person. And I know they think like young people, and nobody thinks like a young person, right? They may not, but listen, they're worth the effort because you need to be training your replacement, somebody to step up when you're gone. And the other thing it does, let's say you're still here in a few years, and you've trained this replacement, and you've come to the point where you just need to step back and let them do it. It opens the door for you to grow in other areas that you have not been growing in because you've not had the opportunity. You may be the very best at what you do in serving the Lord. The very best. But listen, when you disciple somebody, you're able to do twice as much. Then when they disciple somebody, you see it multiplies and it multiplies to the point where you have servants all over the place. I have come to the conclusion, it's not about what you can do for the Lord. It's not about what you do for the Lord. It's about what you can get others to do for the Lord. And I'm not speaking of being lazy. I'm speaking of the multiplication process. You see, if I can get someone else to be a disciple, a follower of Christ, I've doubled. Then they get somebody else and I get someone else. Now we're, you know, it just multiplies. We're going to make disciples. Let's start by finding our Timothy. I want to challenge our committees. I want to challenge our Sunday school classes. Now it's time to put some things into practice. We've been preaching this discipleship for about 6 weeks now. I don't know, it might be seven. Now it's time to let the rubber meet the road. Let's start with our kids. Start with our youth. Make sure they're involved. Make sure they're here for every Bible study opportunity. But Brother Doug, my child don't want to come. Be a parent. Be a parent. You know, there were a few times growing up when I didn't want to go to church. Matter of fact, I told my daddy one time, I don't see why I've got to go to your church. He said, because I'm your daddy. And you know what? He was right. And I noticed, you know what? I got to the point, I liked church. But it was because my daddy said, we're going to church. You know? Be a parent. Be a parent. And kids, sometimes understand, mamas and daddies are not out to ruin your life, okay? It hurts a parent to say no. It really does, you know? Because our goal is to give you everything. But you understand this. Real love, parents and children, real love is when you're able to say no or to lead them in an area that you know is best for them even when they don't want to go. That's when you love. You see, that's what Jesus does for us. I'll be honest with you. There's been times in my life I've said, Lord, I don't want to go here. I don't want to do that. But you know, God knew what was best. And as we went down those roads, I look back and I think, Lord, you did have it all under control, didn't you? Today, I want to challenge you. Let's start making disciples, and let's start with those closest to us, our youth. Youth, I want to challenge you. Be ready. Be ready to be a learner, a disciple of Christ, and listen. Then finally, I close with this. Are you a child of God? If you're not a child of God, listen, you need to be saved. Why? Because you're a sinner. And you see, you having a sin problem leaves you in the position of eternity in hell. But Jesus is the answer. You see, Jesus Christ loved you so much that he said, I'll pay for your sin. I'll pay for your sin on the cross of Calvary. And he went to Calvary. He actually came to this earth, lived a perfect and sinless life, and went to the cross of Calvary, being where he suffered and bled and died and rose from the grave, all so that you could live forever in heaven. And now today, the choice is yours. Whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you call out to him today? Will you receive him as your personal Savior? This invitation's for you. Maybe you're here and there's another spiritual need. I just encourage you. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, listen and respond to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful blessing and opportunity that you've laid before us with this tremendous group of young people. Lord, help us be faithful stewards in teaching and directing and loving them and caring enough for them to train them in you, to disciple them, teaching them to follow you. Lord, give us a zeal, give us a desire to make disciples. And Lord, those whom we train, I pray that you'll give them ears to hear, hearts to receive, that we will build mighty servants in your kingdom through the ministries of this church. We glory in your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray.